I invite you to do so. Also, there is an outline that will go along with this briefer message as we are preparing for the baptism today. As we get ready for the message, I did want to bring to you a greeting from Virginia Flynn. I talked to Virginia yesterday, and she is down in a rehab center in Bowling Green, Virginia, and is they're trying to get her strength back, her weight up, and her house has sold. The closing will be soon, and she will probably relocate down near her son outside of Fredericksburg, Virginia. But she asked me to thank all of you for praying for her, thinking of her, and she said that she desperately wishes she was with us and not where she's at. And if you know Miss Virginia, you understand she would not want to be there, but she is trying to make the best of it to get her strength back. So I told her I would bring those greetings to you all. We're looking this morning at Romans chapter 6, and I wanted to just briefly talk about baptism, especially in view of those that are going to be baptized today. And, you know, I was thinking, what if we were in Turkey, the country of Turkey? Would those of you who have been baptized and those of you who are going to be baptized today, would you still follow through and be baptized following the Lord Jesus Christ in such an environment, such an atmosphere? We know that the government of Turkey is continuing to become more hostile to Christians, much, much more hostile. And you are literally taking your life in your hands and basically putting an X on your back by being baptized in the church. You saw the letter in there, or the note in there, that the government has seized 6 churches. And they don't give any explanation. They just come in and seize it. Can you imagine if one day we're here in the service and a number of government officials with armed enforcers came in and said, everybody get out, we're closing this church and we're seizing your property. Can you imagine? I mean, we can't envision that kind of thing, but what we have to realize is this is happening all over the world today. And why do I bring that up? It's because there are many today that are getting baptized, and we rejoice over that. We're thankful for that. But there are others that have not yet been baptized and still need to and have not made that decision, that commitment. And my hope is that even today, that some would make that decision to be baptized, that you would hear the Word of God and the challenge and the call of the Scripture, and that Jesus would call you to follow Him in believer baptism. So as I start this message, let's stand to read together Romans chapter 6, verses 1 through 4. Let's begin. What shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning that grace may increase? By no means. We died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into His death? We were therefore buried with Him through baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. The Lord add His blessing to the reading of His Word. As you may be seated. As we read this passage of Scripture that Paul is writing to us, we see several things, and really the main point that I want to bring to you is that in the Christian life, there are many things in the Christian life that are counterintuitive. One of the big things in the Christian life, by the way, a shout out to Mark and Donna Turbett, they're here, and they don't know it, but they're moving back here. They don't even know that, but yeah, I'm prophesying. One of the things in the Christian life is this, that many things are counterintuitive, very counterintuitive. One of the things is this, that we all think that we need to help God in our lives. And God needs our help. But in other words, we have to help Him along in the things that He has for us or the things that He shows us. It's sort of intuitive within us that, well, of course God needs our help. But that is exactly opposite of what God says in His Word. We read here that we have to die in order to live. We have to die to ourselves. Now, He's not talking there physically about physically dying. He's talking there about dying to our will, dying to us being in charge of our lives, dying to the old life which was ruled by us, and then rising in Christ and in the power of Christ, the power, the same power that raised Christ from the dead, living in that new life. Baptism symbolizes death to our old sinful life and rising into the new life that we receive from Christ, and now we live it through the power of the indwelling Spirit. Some of you are here today and you have been taught either through the church or maybe through just, you know, popular teaching, maybe your mother and father, and we know one of the great American truisms or American adages is that God helps those who help themselves. God helps those who help themselves. And there's a lot of people that quote that and they think that comes from the Bible. They might even say, you know, that's in the Bible. You know what? That's not in the Bible. And it is not something that Jesus ever said. It's not something that God ever said. I don't think it's something that any preacher ever said. And if he did, he's really off base. Now, this does not negate that we have responsibilities. But when it comes to our spiritual life with God, our spiritual life is not something that you can live in the power of your flesh. You must live the Christian life through the power of the indwelling Spirit. Here's the problem. You only get the indwelling Spirit by dying to yourself. We call that in the Scripture being filled with the Spirit. Now, the Spirit is not a substance that you get more and more and more of. No, no. The Spirit is the person of the indwelling Christ who lives in us, and He is the person with whom we have a relationship. How can Jesus Christ be with each one of us? He doesn't physically live in us, you know, physically step into us. No, no. He does it by His Spirit. And so His Holy Spirit that is present on the earth can live in you, and 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 me. He lives in us by His Spirit. Now the question is, and this is really the picture of baptism, is who is going to run my life? How am I going to live my life? It's interesting, I use often analogies or illustrations, you know, using computers. Because I work on computers as a side hobby, and you know, there's things to, always things to learn about computers. And here's the thing, a computer will only work if it's hooked up or has a power source. You can buy a phenomenal new laptop. You know, they have some of them now that are coming with, you know, terabyte hard drives and you know, multi-gigabyte processors and all this stuff. And that's wonderful. But you know what? If it's not hooked up to a power source, it's just a chunk of metal or plastic sitting there. If it's not hooked up to the power source, if the battery in it is not charged, and there's no power coming, it's just a hunk of metal and a bunch of circuits, and it can accomplish nothing. This is a picture of your life and my life, unless we're hooked into the power of the indwelling Christ. But you can't have the indwelling Christ unless you die to yourself. Another place in John chapter 12, Jesus said these words. He says, unless a kernel, a seed of wheat, falls to the ground and dies, it remains alone, a single seed. But if it dies, it then turns into many seeds. How? Because it dies to itself in terms of being a single seed, and it turns into a plant or a tree that then yields fruit and multiple seeds. That's a picture of your life and my life. Jesus said, if you and I try to save our life, try to keep our life for ourselves, then we just remain us, a single life energized by the power of the flesh, and we really don't accomplish anything for the kingdom. But, as he says in John 15, if you and I abide in the vine, the true vine, Jesus Christ, we will bear much fruit. And so, baptism is a picture, it symbolizes my old life, dying to the old life, and rising with Christ into the new life that he has for us, that I live by the power of the indwelling Spirit. So, as I talk about that baptism, let me say a few things about it, of what baptism is not. Because I understand that, you know, some of you have been raised in you know, a more traditional or ritualistic church or more of an institutional church, you know. By the way, I'm just interested, how many are from a Catholic background here in the church? I'd say probably almost half. Okay, how about Episcopal background? So folks from Episcopal or Anglican? Okay, there's some traditional ritualistic backgrounds. And then how about if you were just pagans? You're just pagans and no church background. There's a lot of you too. Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, it doesn't matter whether you've been raised in the church or not. You know, there can be a lot of misconceptions about baptism. Some of it has been put forth by the institutional church, and others it's just sort of, you know, American wisdom, American religion. You know, how many of you have seen that crazy movie, Oh Brother, Where Art Thou? Yeah, and you know, he thinks that, I don't remember his name, but he's going to go down to the river and he's going to get baptized, and that's going to take care of everything. He's going to get all of his sins forgiven. And it's if the ritual of baptism in and of itself has magical power. I was going to show you a little clip from Nacho Libre where, you know, he baptizes his sidekick, and then I thought the better of it. He doesn't have a shirt on and he's gross. And but, you know, he's going into the ring with his partner, and his partner is not baptized. And so he comes up on him and he takes his head and he, without the guy's knowledge or consent, he baptizes him into the pan of water. What is that? You see, baptism is not in and of itself a means of grace. There are some churches, some institutional churches that teach that baptism in and of itself is a means of grace. And that's why there's some church traditions where they baptize infants. Because, oh, you want this infant to receive the grace of God. Well, if I understand the scriptures correctly, and the simple, straightforward reading, Jesus said, let the little children come unto me. Do not hinder them, for such belong the kingdom of God. These children, whether they're baptized or not in an institutional church, these children belong to the Lord. They're already His. And baptizing them, you know, with some sort of church ecclesiastical ritual, it does nothing for them. I'm sorry, you might disagree with me, but you will find nothing in Scripture about children being baptized. You will find no example of children being baptized. And I'm talking about young infants, of infants being baptized. We don't encourage young children to get baptized. We encourage the parents to talk to them. They have to come to an age where they fully understand their salvation, fully understand the issue of repentance in their life, so that they can, by their own choice, be baptized. We don't baptize infants because they can't make that choice for themselves. And there's nowhere in Scripture that says that someone else can make that choice for you. It's not there. You won't find it. So baptism is not a means of grace. Another aspect is that the ritual of baptism does not save you. In and of itself, it does not save you. It's an outward sign of an inward work. It's a symbol. It's a picture that I'm giving. Titus chapter 3, verses 4 through 5. Colby Garrett. No, that's the wrong scripture. Marty Scarborough. He's going to read that for us. Marty, thank you.
But when feared, and he saved us not because of our righteous things we had done, but because of his mercy, he saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by this Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us generously through Jesus Christ our Savior.
Okay. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by baptism. Isn't that what it says? It's a trick question, folks. Washing of rebirth and renewal by what? Washing and renewal by what? It is the Spirit of God who comes to indwell you when you invite Christ to come and be your Savior, that's what saves you. Not the removal of dirt from your body. Baptism doesn't do anything for you in and of itself. It's an outward sign, a picture of what Christ has already done in my heart. So baptism doesn't save you. It's not a means of grace. But baptism is commanded of God. Number one, as we break this down, the command of baptism comes. We read it last week from Acts chapter 2, verse 38 and 39. The people, after hearing the gospel, are touched in their heart, cut in their heart, and they ask the disciples, the apostles, what shall we do? And Peter, as the representative, the spokesperson, says, you are to repent and get baptized, be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. You shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Repent, and we talked about that last week, it means a change of mind, a change of heart. I was going this way, I turn, and I'm going that way through the power of God. God has convinced me. He has convinced me that the direction I was going was wrong. And now I'm going this way. This is why you can never argue somebody into the kingdom. You can never argue somebody to become a follower of Jesus. You can never force someone to become a follower of Jesus. It must be the power of God who prevails upon that person, who moves upon them so that they see this direction I was going is wrong. I was going that way. Repentance means a 180-degree turn. Now I'm going this way. I'm following God in faith and belief. Now, that does not make me perfect. I will be the first person to admit that I am not perfect. I sin every day. It's not something I intend to do. But because of the weakness of my flesh, I sin just like you. And the difficulty is that I'm up here preaching the Word, and I have to deal with it for days before I bring it to you. It's tough. I have to read it, and the conviction of the Holy Spirit has to come upon me. I have to be dealt with in the Scripture before I ever get it to you. So understand that the onus is on me first. So, Jesus commands baptism. Matthew chapter 28. Jesus said to his disciples before he left, he said, go, make disciples of all nations. In other words, by going, by baptizing, by teaching, make the disciples. Make disciples. Jesus is following through with his commands to the disciples. Now they are following through and they are doing what Jesus commanded. Then Jesus himself had given us an example. Do you remember? His cousin, John the baptizer, John the immerser, he's walking down into the water, and John looks at him and says, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And then John says, Lord, you're coming to me. I should be baptized by you. And Jesus, listen, what he says is true. What John says is true. He is the lesser, and Jesus is the greater. But what does Jesus say? He says, John, let it be so for now that all righteousness will be fulfilled. Why? Because Jesus gave you and me a pattern, an example to follow. If there's nothing else but that, and Jesus got baptized and he said, y'all need to follow me. That's Eastern Shore from the Scripture. Y'all need to follow me in baptism. If there was nothing more than that in the Scripture, that would be sufficient. That Jesus says, look guys, I got baptized. If you're going to be my follower, you get baptized too. That's sufficient, amen? There's 15 more passages in Scripture that talk about baptism. And yet some of us have not yet followed the Lord in believer baptism. I challenge you. Why not? And so we see the command of baptism. Jesus commands it. Peter reiterates the command, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Listen, I really believe that there are some folks that struggle in their Christian walk because they have not settled this issue. They've not settled it. You're holding back. For whatever the reasons are, you might think they're valid, but I'm here to tell you and I'm here to challenge you that they're not valid. If Christ commands you to be baptized, you need to get baptized. Case closed. There's no excuses that stand before Him. One day we're going to stand before Jesus and He's going to ask us some questions. And those of you who haven't gotten baptized, you may make it into heaven because baptism doesn't save you, you know, but Jesus is going to ask you point blank, why didn't you obey me and get baptized? And you're going to say, well, Jesus, I didn't want to look like a wet rat. I didn't want to mess up my do. And Jesus is going to raise His eyebrow and we're going to shrivel before Him if we have that excuse. And He's going to say, really? Some of us have been holding up excuses that are ridiculous. And I'm telling you, it's time to get serious with God because throughout this world, and it's happening in this country, we need Christians who have spiritual backbone. That we're not worried about what anybody else thinks except for what he thinks. That's what my number one goal needs to be, is I'm going to follow Jesus. If you're going to follow Jesus, then you got to follow Jesus. And not worry about what anyone else says. Number two, the significance of baptism. This passage we read here, there's three things out of it. There's a picture. There's a picture. As we join with Christ in baptism, there's a mystical element, a spiritual element. When you go down under the water, it says, don't you know that you were buried with Christ into His death? You go down under that water, it's a picture of death with Christ. Christ was baptized, so to speak, as He went down into the grave. You remember the story, we just celebrated it at Easter. Christ is put into the tomb, He died, and the stone is covered of the tomb. There's an interesting example in the mountains of the Andes in South America. Missionaries had gone down and began to preach the gospel to some remote peoples in the mountains. And there were those that put their faith in Jesus Christ and wanted to be His followers. And the next step, of course, was baptism. But you know, there wasn't any water there in the mountains. Very limited amount of water. And so you know what the missionaries did? They tried to think what is the best way we can picture baptism as it relates to us joining with Christ in His death. So they constructed a coffin. And those that wanted to follow the Lord in believer baptism, proclaiming their identification with Christ, a picture of what Christ has done with them, had to go into the coffin. And the lid was closed, and then the lid was open, and they were raised into the new life, a picture of the new life that Christ gave them through the indwelling Spirit. Now, I don't know about you, but I think I would prefer the water. I don't think I want to get into a coffin, and I certainly don't want them closing the lid. I'm claustrophobic, and I would probably have a panic attack. But the significance of baptism is a picture. It's a picture of Christ dying with Christ and rising into the new life that He has for us. Letter I is this. We identify ourselves publicly as a follower of Christ. As I said last week, there's no closet Christians. You have to identify yourself with Christ. Jesus said, if you confess me before people, I will confess you before my Father in heaven. But if you deny me, if you disown me before people, I will disown you. See, if you don't want Jesus, if you don't want anything to do with Him, He will grant you your wish. We must identify with Jesus. We publicly identify, we tell everybody, I am a follower of Jesus Christ. And then the C is commitment. Part of the baptismal requirement is that you're committing your life to Christ. Doesn't mean I'm going to be perfect. Doesn't mean I'm not going to fail. It means I'm committing my life to follow Jesus for the rest of my days. I'm committing my life and I'm going to live in the power of the Holy Spirit. Why is that important? We are driving a stake in the ground and we're driving it deeper and deeper and deeper in our lives. We've burned the bridge. The old life's gone. There's no turning back. There's nothing to turn back to. And now we live in the power of the indwelling Holy Spirit. It's an outward sign of an inward work. It's the response of commitment on our part, our will. You have to apply your will and say, Lord, I'm going to follow you. That old song that we sing, we'll sing it today. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. The world behind me, the cross before me. The world behind me, the cross before me. The world behind me, the cross before me. No turning back. No turning back. Though none go with me, still I will follow. Though none go with me, still I will follow. Though none will go with me, still I will follow. No turning back. No turning back. And then I'll give the last verse, which is a challenge and an invitation to every one of you. Will you decide now to follow Jesus? 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 There's no turning back. No turning back. If you're here today and you are wanting to follow Jesus and you haven't been baptized, I'm here to urge you, drive a stake in the ground. I was 19. I've been raised in the church. I had a head full of knowledge. I knew the creeds. I knew the rituals. I knew when to sit down and stand up and kneel down and shut up and all those things. And I went through the ritual. My parents dragged me to church, even when I didn't want to go as I got older. But it came a point where Jesus confronted me, not through my parents, but me. And the question came to me, will you decide now, Tom, to follow Jesus? No turning back. No turning back. And the preacher of the church began to talk about baptism. I'd never heard about it before. Never saw it happen in our church. I was like, what? Where's this in the Bible? And he opened it up and showed me. Huh. Never saw that one. And he challenged, he said, those of you who want to follow Christ, be baptized, come talk to me. We're going to schedule a baptism. I began to struggle. The Lord began to deal with me. And then I knew I had to decide for me, I'm going to follow Jesus. And I'm going to get baptized because you can't keep it to yourself and you can't be a closet Christian. You have to tell the whole world, I am going to follow Jesus. And so at the age of 19, I got baptized. Why do I share that? Because for me, the struggle was done, was over. I was driving the stake in the ground, and you know what? I've struggled with many things. I struggle with temptation and sin just like you, but that's not something I've ever struggled with. I have never struggled with the temptation to go back, to turn away from following Jesus. Never struggled with it. You know why? Because I drove a stake in the ground. I said to the Lord and everybody around me, I'm going to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. I had a bunch of so-called friends. Some of them actually came to my baptism. And you know what? Most of them I never spoke with again after that. They wanted nothing to do with Tom Leonard, this Jesus freak, this weirdo. They didn't want anything to do with me after that. There was only one that kept in touch with me. But you know what? Though none go with me, still I will follow. Though none go with me, still I will follow. No turning back, no turning back. And God began to give me new friends. Well, I'm going to lose my friends and people are going to think I'm weird. Well, we already do think you're weird. And we'll make new friends here in this community of believers. Will you decide now to follow Jesus? Let's pray. Father, I pray for each one here today. I thank you for those who have made a firm and full commitment and followed you in baptism. And right now they're praying with me for those who are hearing your call, those who are struggling, those who know they need to follow through, to make you Lord of all and be baptized. No holds back, no reservations. Father, I pray for each one. Lord, today is the day. You say in your word, if you hear my voice, don't harden your heart. I pray for each one. I thank you, Lord, for these today that are going to be baptized and are following you in believer baptism this way, Lord. But I believe there's others. If that's you today and you know you need to be baptized and you're willing, I want you to raise your hand right now. If that's you, you know you need to be baptized and you're willing to do it. You weren't scheduled to do it, but you're willing to do it. Raise your hand right now. That's okay. Amen. Amen, Shane. God bless you. We'll work with you. Now there are those of you that maybe you don't understand this baptism thing yet because you haven't asked Jesus to be in your life and you don't know the salvation that he has for you. We want to pray for you. If you haven't received Christ and you need to, you know you need to do that and you want to do that today, would you raise your hand? You want to ask Jesus into your life. Amen. Amen. We're going to pray a prayer. All of us will pray it. And if you will pray out of your heart, Jesus will begin a miracle in your life. Let's pray together. You repeat it after me. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for loving me. Thank you for sending Jesus, your one and only Son, who died on the cross for my sins and was raised from the dead on the third day. I believe in you, Lord Jesus, and I invite you into my life. Forgive my sins. Make me new. Give me the gift of your Spirit. And I'm going to follow you all of my days. In your name, amen. 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 Let's give the Lord a hand. Amen. Amen. Now I know, for those of you who prayed that prayer for the first time, you might say, well, I'm just not ready to be baptized. That's okay. I understand the church has really complicated baptism. It wasn't that way in the early church. If you put your faith in Christ, you got baptized immediately. The day that Peter preaches, 3,000 put their faith in Christ and 3,000 get baptized. But the church has complicated that, and I understand that. And we're not going to pressure you, but we do challenge and encourage you. If you want to get baptized today, you've done all that's required, putting your faith in Christ. And so we invite you to do so. If you're not prepared, that's okay. If you want to do it and you're not prepared, we'll work with you. We got plenty of towels. We can go over to the thrift store and get some clothes or whatever. Whatever we need to do. Amen. I'm going to invite those who are going to prepare to be baptized today to go ahead and be dismissed. And if you go out in the lobby, our deaconesses will meet you out there. We're going to help you with a robe and in preparation for the baptism. If you want to go ahead and do that today, then follow them on out there and we'll get you baptized. Our worship team's going to come and we'll prepare and we'll be back in the service in just a few moments.